I'm a girl with the fornicators.
Okay. Oh,
okay. I was just checking to see if you were listening.
From Destrehan, Louisiana. Hold on a second.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you.
Momentum, excitement, energy. You know, I mean, they say all this stuff, and you know what they mean, but, you know, it doesn't describe what you mean. I mean, it's just sort of out there.
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
I was just worried about, you know, listening to, you know, all your guys' rap poison.
Welcome to Sideline Judgment. Here are your hosts, Sergio and Tyler.
Welcome to Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio, and you know the drill. When it's just me, it's just me, guys. No, in all seriousness, this is a late episode. Just trying to get something out because we want to be consistent. We want to be held accountable. And this was a very chaotic last week for us. I, Sergio, went to New York City with my girlfriend, and we had a lovely time, just the two of us. You know, had a little vacation, saw a couple Broadway shows, saw Sweeney Todd, loved it, saw Moulin Rouge. I love my girlfriend, and that's all I'll say about that show. But because of that, you know, I wasn't able to watch most of these games live. I went back, did my homework like a true professional, but I wasn't able to record, you know, at our traditional time. I was also had a work conference during our traditional time, so very busy. And then Tyler decided to take his vacation this weekend. So he is out on a cruise ship. Happy for my guy. He did leave us his picks for 5 wide and 2 points. So I will be letting you know what those are later on. But I just thought, you know, let me come on here. Let me run through the rundown much quicker than normal, which is usually famous last words for me. But truly, I'm watching this while the U.S. men's national team takes on Trinidad and Tobago. And yeah, you know, I just want to kind of get through this. And get through this sounds like I don't want to do it. Like I love doing this. This is a great part of my week. But, you know, I always wish I was doing it with my best friend, with Tyler. So missing you this week, buddy. But the college football world continues forward. I know what you're thinking as well. Wow, Serge is going to have to do the entire Jimbo Fisher conversation by himself. No, I will not. We will wait until next week to commence our silly season conversations because we do have a few more. It's not just Jimbo Fisher being fired from Texas A&M. There are more positions that have become vacant, but that is obviously the most high profile. So let's go ahead and begin with the college football playoff rankings from this past week. A change at the top. Georgia's one number one. Ohio State is two. They flip-flopped. I mean, it's kind of dealer's choice at this point. I feel like the game day situation this past week where Georgia and Ole Miss were the centerpiece of the show last week, which Georgia beat Ole Miss 52-17, by the way. Tyler and I both get the points on that. That was a 5-wide game. I feel like there was a whole section where Pat McAfee was talking about how these people, I don't understand why they're ranked number two when they won back-to-back national championships. And it's like, well, I wouldn't expect you to know this, Pat McAfee, but that's not how the rankings work. Like, you don't get credit for years prior when you're being judged on this year's performance. I understand that going into the season because you can only base things off of what you just saw. But, I mean, I don't think anyone else is very shocked that Ohio State was number one and number two before this week. I mean, Georgia has shown that, okay, they're kind of rounding back into form, and with Brock Bowers coming back, you know, they're going to be even more. So I get it now, but like, let's not act like this was this great slight, you know, it's that crazy. Coaches will make up anything. And Pat McAfee's a former football player. He's indoctrinated in that kind of mentality. So it is what it is. But moving forward, Ohio State, they beat Michigan State 38-3. Michigan stays at number three. That whole fiasco was insane with Michigan's Jim Harbaugh and, you know, trying to get an injunction a few hours before the game against Penn State. It's like 10:30 in the morning and they're still trying to see if he can coach in a game 90 minutes away. Just insanity. The interim coach after their 24-15 win over Penn State, which Tyler and I both get the points for. In that whole situation, the coach is crying in the post-game interview, like, we won this for you, Jim. And it's like, my man, he didn't die, all right? And, he didn't get locked up for possession or something, like something dumb. He's like, really, dude? Like, come on, guys, get over yourself, Michigan. It's actually reported today that Jim Harbaugh has decided to not go through with his like three-game suspension, not go through with the appeals process, I should say. So he's accepted the three-game suspension the Big Ten gave him. Yeah, really crazy week of college football. I picked the perfect weekend to go to New York City and not watch college football live. Just the perfect one. Just the absolute perfect one. We'll have a deeper conversation about that next week when Tyler comes back. FSU sneaks by Miami 27-20. It was enough to keep them at number four. Washington beats Utah 35-28. I get the point on that one. And while I did not watch these things live, I did get a chuckle late at night Saturday in my hotel room when I was watching highlights from the games. And I saw the Washington defensive player on an interception fumble the football. Let me rephrase that. Dropping the football before scoring, which you've seen like a handful of times in the past decade. And it's like, why does anyone even remotely think of letting go of the football when they're approaching the end zone? It's something that I've never understood, will never understand. And they did get the safety on the following possession and stuff or whatever, but like, good Lord, that was ridiculous. So it is what it is, I guess. Oregon 36, USC 27. That was Tyler's 2-point. He does get that. Oregon stays at 6. And then rounding out the top 10, Texas, Bama, Missouri, which jumps 5 spots after their 36-7 victory over Tennessee, which I got the points for on the 5 wide. And then Louisville sneaks by Virginia 31-24. It looked scary there for a second. They did play during the week. I think it was last Friday. And they ended up getting the win. Good for them. Texas beat TCU 29-26 and yet another sneaky bye game. Quinn Ewers came back in that game. And then Bama took care of business against Kentucky 49-21. At number 11, we have Oregon State. They beat Stanford 62-17. Penn State drops down to number 12, 2 spots after that loss to Michigan. Ole Miss drops down 4 spots after their loss to Georgia. And Oklahoma rises 3 spots, I think in part due to the 59-20 victory over West Virginia. Dylan Gabriel accounted for 8. I'm going to say that one more time. Dylan Gabriel accounted for 8 of Oklahoma's touchdowns, which is an Oklahoma record for most touchdowns that a single player is responsible for in a game. That's insane. They definitely kind of got back on track, but would have loved to have seen that in Bedlam, ladies and gentlemen. Would have loved to have seen that in Bedlam. Number 15, LSU, they jumped 4 spots after their 52-35 win over Florida. I guess this is the moment where I talk about the Gators. What I did do with Alexa was we tried to go to the sports bar, and it was a sports bar that it's Rocco's, like sports and recreation in Manhattan. And I went because like online, they have a really cool presence. It looks like it's a, you know, like kind of like a loungy area. I thought it would be a bit more like, you know, young adult and, you know, like adult games, and the drink menu looked good. And they had these dips that looked delicious. And it was like, okay, sports, but like, you know, make it millennial, you know, like make it like people like me. I'm 27, Alexis 28, you know, late 20s, early 30s, go have fun, have a drink, enjoy yourself. We walk in there and it's like I was back in Gainesville. It's like Alexa was back in Orlando, like college days, packed to the brim. The only saving grace was the security guard outside was legitimately talking like Tyler and I's friend Day Day, where he was like, I hope someone starts something tonight because I'm looking for a fight. And it was like, oh my God, he guy was hilarious. Reminded me of Day Day. And so we get in there and Alexa's like, we're leaving. We're too old for this. And I was like, you know what? You're right. But I was like, listen, we came all this way. We waited in line for like 5-10 minutes outside. Can I watch a couple drives of the Gator game, please? And so Lex was like, fine, fine. So we got a single drink each. Don't have to tell you how much I paid for that because it's New York prices. But we got a single drink each and we stayed for approximately 15 minutes while I watched the Florida defense, really allow Jaden Daniels to control and drive up the game. We did get the stop and we forced a field goal, which was nice in the moment. It was like the second quarter. So, you know, we're still in the game, but that was kind of the story of the game, right? Jaden Daniels kind of doing his thing and dominating. So listen, we have Missouri this weekend and then we got Florida State. I said since we lost that Arkansas game that the FSU game was going to be the one that I think we had the best chance to win given the situation, given the environment. It's a home game rivalry. I'm a bit more optimistic, or let me rephrase that. I think my case has a bit more
my belief has a bit more legs to it now that we watched that Florida State Miami game and we saw like what Miami did physically to Florida State's defense, or I'm sorry, to Florida State's offense, and they kept them in within a touchdown. I think that we have a possibility to go ahead and produce and to be, you know, at the level that we need to kind of catch FSU slipping. You know, they've had some of those games this year, three or four of those games where they play a close game and they like to play like to the level of their competition, whatever that may be. And so I think we may be able to kind of sneak one out there. So, but all credit to LSU, especially Jaden Daniels, dominated, had a great game. They come in at number 15. Rounding out the rest of the top 20, Iowa at 16. They jumped six spots after a 22-0 rout of Rutgers. Arizona jumps four spots after they sneak by in the 34-31 victory over Colorado. Tyler and I both get the points on that one. Tennessee drops five spots after that loss to Missouri, 36-7. Notre Dame was off, and they were off, and they rose a spot, which is always a good place to be in. And then North Carolina went up four spots after their 47-45 double overtime victory over Duke. This was a game that I did not know about before I watched the highlights. I didn't even see the score. And so the entire time that I was, you know, I watched the extended highlights, it was like, oh my gosh, it was really exciting to catch up on. I wish I would have watched that one live. North Carolina goes up to 20. Kansas State 21 after their domination, 59-25 over Baylor. Utah drops four after that loss to Washington at number 22. Oklahoma State drops eight spots. Man, this just, oh my God, Oklahoma. I can't believe he lost that game. I cannot believe they lost that football game. They got routed by UCF 45-3. The official first victory in the Big 12 for UCF. We're not counting that Cincinnati game. They dominated, played incredible. Lex and I were actually at Kith, the store in New York City, and we were in there shopping and hanging out and having a good time. And it was just crazy how often I would be getting alerts from the UCF game. And it was like, oh, they're up 7-0. They scored in the first drive. Okay, that's fine. Oh, they're up 14-0. Oh my God. Okay, they're up three scores in the first quarter. What's going on here? And every time I would tell Alexa, she like wouldn't believe me until like finally at the end of the game, I was like, hey, you guys dominated Oklahoma State 45-3. And her response to me was, looks like we need to stay in New York because UCF keeps winning. And I was like, you know what? I hear you. So, and then Tulane beats Tulsa 24-22, but they drop a spot because Tulane's been playing with some fire lately, ladies and gentlemen. It hasn't really been smooth sailing for them. They had a close game against ECU. They had this close game against Tulsa, two teams that they should be much better than, two teams that they should be dominating. But again, you know, good teams find ways to win. And I think Tulane, as shown by, you know, winning these football games, just like I think Texas winning these football games, they're able to sneak in and they're able to continue forward. So as long as you win the games, you're in a good spot. But I will say, keep an eye on Tulane for my 2 point at the end of this episode. Just saying. Rounding out the top 25, Kansas, they dropped nine spots, which understandably so. They lost to a pretty bad Texas Tech team, 16-13. Granted, still backup quarterbacks in and stuff, but kind of can't be losing that. The 12-team playoff, if after week 10, if we had that, the projected, we would have Georgia, Ohio State, Florida State, and Washington would have the bye weeks. They would be the top four seeds. Excuse me. Coming in at five would be Michigan. They'd be hosting Tulane, the 12 seed. At six, we would have a rematch of the Civil War. Oregon at six, hosting Oregon State at 11. I know that would be pretty much impossible, and that wouldn't happen because, well, it could happen now that, you know, Oregon and Oregon State are going to be in different conferences, but it wouldn't really happen realistically this season if we had a 12-team playoff because Oregon and Oregon State are playing each other not this Saturday, but the following in the Civil War. So, but still, man, ooh, that would be fun. More on Oregon State later. I got a big-time take about them, so we'll see. We'll get to that in a bit. And then the 8-9 matchup was going to be Alabama-Missouri, which, again, probably wouldn't happen in real life. And then that last matchup would be Texas, the number 7 seed, hosting Louisville, which would be a fun matchup. So that's what that would be like. For the five wide and 2 points, you know, we covered a few of these games already. Michigan 24, Penn State 15, Arizona 34, Colorado 31, Washington 35, Utah 28, Missouri 36, Tennessee 7, and Georgia 52, Ole Miss 17. For the 2 points, we had Tyler's Oregon over USC. He got the 2 points, and I had Arkansas over Auburn, and good Lord, was I wrong. So that did not go my way. I didn't get those points. tally all those things up, and we sit Sergio 57, Tyler 51. Technically, it's still a one possession game heading into the final 2 weeks of the season. So Tyler still has a chance. We'll see what happens this weekend before we go into rivalry week. And remember, we do include conference championship games. So there are technically 3 weeks of points accumulation left. So Tyler still has a chance. All right. I'm being nice to you, my man. I'm being nice to you. Around the nation, elsewhere in the SEC, A&M 51, Mississippi State 10. Both of these coaches were fired on Sunday after this game, which is might be a first. We'll talk about this in depth, about Will Arnett leaving Mississippi State and about Jimbo Fisher leaving A&M next week with the silly season introduction for that we're going to do with Tyler. But I do want to just point out Jimbo Fisher's buyout. The total buyout is $77 million. That is a grotesque amount of money to not work. Total buyout, $77,562,500, because of course you need that last 500. A lump sum, which is 25% of that, is owed within 60 days, which comes out to a direct deposit in 2 months that Jimbo Fisher will receive in his Bank of America checking account of $19,390,625. And then after that, he will receive 8 payments that begin no later than March 11th, 2024, and continue annually through 2031. And those payments come out to $7,271,484 per payment. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard of the Bobby Bonilla Day with the Mets, where he gets $1 million every single year. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be having a Jimbo Fisher Day until 2031, and it will blow Bobby Bonilla Day out of the water. Good Lord. I think the other thing to note with that buyout, and I think Tyler will really get a kick out of this next week, is that usually with a buyout like this, or any buyout really, there is what they call an offset. And that means that if the coach that gets fired takes another job somewhere else, the salary that that coach makes at that job essentially gets taken off of what the school that fired him is responsible for. So, for example, if the buyout is $10 million, and if I get fired from an SEC school and my buyout is $20 million, and yes, I just doubled it because I realized if I'm going to fire myself hypothetically, I'm going to get paid hypothetically. So $20 million on the buyout, $30 million on the buyout, and the new school gives me $15 million on my contract, then that means that my old school that fired me would owe me $15 million. So that's what, you know, different contracts have different rates and scales of that payout reduction and stuff. But yeah, you know, when you're Texas A&M, you say, you know what, we don't need to put that in the contract. We're going to give this man everything fully guaranteed. So Jimbo could go out and sign a contract and make $5 million annually, and that would be paid to him on top of his $7,200,000 annually as well. This is a grotesque amount of money, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God, insanity. Elsewhere in the SEC, South Carolina 47, Vanderbilt 6, and then that aforementioned Auburn 48, Arkansas 10, which was my 2 point that did not go my favor. Georgia, obviously, still front runner in the East. They got it all. I think if they win this weekend, they have it locked up and it's good to go. And then in the West, you have Bama. We're on track to Georgia Bama. That's what's going to happen in the SEC. So moving forward, ACC, Clemson 42, Georgia Tech 21. They look good. Clemson do. They look a little bit more normal. Granted, it's Georgia Tech. Virginia Tech 48, Boston College 22. Virginia Tech's one win away from bowl eligibility. I'm tired. It's late. My apologies. NC State 26, Wake Forest 6. And then Syracuse 28, Pitt 13, which ended up being at Yankee Stadium. And I did not know this until I landed in New York and I saw a bunch of Syracuse and Pitt people and was like, what? First person I saw was a Pitt guy standing in line behind us to check in at the hotel. And I was like, Pitt sweater. Okay. Then we were like walking in Midtown. We went to the Museum of Broadway, highly recommend, by the way, went to the Museum of Broadway. And as we were walking the streets, I saw like more and more Pitt jerseys. And I was like, okay, something's happening with Pitt this weekend. So I Googled it. And then turns out that, yeah, they're playing at Yankee Stadium. Then on Sunday morning, It ended up, obviously, that Syracuse ended up winning 28-13. I was at a bagel spot and we were waiting for our bagels, and this guy in line behind us had a Syracuse jacket on. And then the people behind him was like a mom and a dad, and they also had Syracuse gear on. So they were talking about the game. And I, of course, because I am who I am, kind of made a little comment when I played a bit dumb, I won't lie. I turned to the guy and I was like, did you guys win? Knowing damn well Syracuse won. Looked at the guy and I was like, did you guys win? He was like, yeah, yeah. And I went, big win for Dino. And the guy was like, yeah, man, he's been on the hot seat. And I had a full 5-minute conversation about Syracuse football and Dino Babers being on the hot seat with some random guy in New York who ended up going to Syracuse and went to the game. Like, pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. The bagel was delicious, by the way. You can check Alexa's Instagram stories for our bagel adventures that we had there. In the ACC, FSU still leading. They're 8-0 in the conference. They have guaranteed themselves a place in the conference championship game. And then it looks like it's going to be Louisville, who's 6-1. Pretty sure that if they win out, or if they, you know, end up taking care of business, it's going to be FSU-Louisville. That'll be fun. UNC and NC State have an outside chance as well. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. In the Big 12, Cincy 24, Houston 14, and Iowa State 45, BYU 13. This would be a great thing for Tyler if he were here. But, man, UCF really threw a bone in the really threw a wrench in the Oklahoma State Conference title plans. They are now tied with Oklahoma and Iowa State and Kansas State. All four of those schools are 5-2 in the conference. Texas is obviously 6-1. It'd be interesting, right? Because we have a lot of possibilities here. Texas could lose another game, and that would give Oklahoma the tiebreaker over them. But Oklahoma State has a tiebreaker over Oklahoma. So we're in a weird situation. But also, Iowa State has two losses, and so they could kind of get their way in. Same with Kansas State. Super interesting situation. The Big 12 is still wide open between those four teams, with Kansas State kind of, I'm sorry, those five teams, including Kansas State. So really interesting to see how things play out there. I'm really excited to watch the last couple weeks of the season there. To the Big 10, Illinois 48, Indiana 45 in overtime, Maryland 13, Nebraska 10, Purdue 49, Minnesota 30, and Northwestern 24, Wisconsin 10. I think the Northwestern one, they actually, after this game, promoted their interim head coach to full head coach, which obviously, like, no one thought this was going to happen with Northwestern. They're 5-5. They can go to a bowl game, 3-4 in the conference, sitting in second in the West. I think that's a bit more to say that the West is the, you know, arguably the worst conference in one of the worst conferences in the Power Five. But still, you know, Northwestern was not supposed to be here. So credit to them, credit to those players. And then obviously Maryland beating Nebraska, sneaking by. Nebraska's also, listen, there are 5 teams in the Big Ten West that are 5-5 and fighting for bowl eligibility. And I'm going to, spoiler alert, all five of those teams are not going to make a bowl game. So very interesting stuff going on there. If you're a sicko like me, we don't even talk about the East because it'll be decided between Michigan and Ohio State in a couple weeks. So we'll see. To the Pac-12, California 42, Washington State 39. But even though Washington State lost on the field, they did win in the courtroom this past week. The Pac-2 victory there, they basically, a judge said that Oregon State and Washington State have the ability to decide what happens with the revenue that the Pac-12 is going to bring in this year, and basically like screw over all the teams that are leaving and kind of take all the money from them for this season, which the lawyer for the other teams, basically his argument in court was basically like, it's not fair. And I was listening to Split Zone Duo today, and they were saying how like, wow, that's kind of crazy, because the whole it's not fair argument really didn't come up when every single other school in the conference literally decided to just leave and left Washington and Oregon State in the dust. Like, kind of funny how the turntables on that one, you know what I mean? So that's, I just love that. I think that would be the messiest and best thing to happen in terms of an entertainment standpoint for a neutral in college football. And then also came out this week in an athletic report that those Pac-12 schools, Washington State and Oregon State, are discussing an alliance with the Mountain West. So part of that court victory was that they get to decide the image stuff. They get to decide the assets. They get to do all of that stuff. And so because of that, they essentially can decide the future of the conference and the branding and the name. And so they're discussing an alliance, seeing they can bring in the Mountain West. They want to remain a conference for next season. They need at least 8 members. So they would need to take at least 6 members from somewhere else, more than likely the Mountain West. So we'll see how that goes. And then Arizona State beat UCLA 17-7, which is putting Chip Kelly on the hot seat. And again, we'll talk about that next week with Silly Season. Now, Washington is sitting at 7-0 in the conference with Oregon at 6-1 behind them. And then we have Arizona and Oregon State at 5-2 behind them. So it looks like if everything goes chalk, right, that we're going to get that rematch that we really, really want. But if Oregon State manages, and we'll talk about this later on in a few minutes, but if Oregon State manages to kind of upset and go in and beat Washington and or in the Civil War next week, we could be having a different conversation. And honestly, that seems like one of the more fun things that could happen in the end of the Pac-12 era as we know it. So really exciting stuff happening there. The conference races heading into these last couple of weeks are really, really exciting outside of the SEC. But Tyler and I have told you already that the SEC is really not a very deep conference this year. It's kind of a two-headed monster up top, but shout out to Missouri as well. Very excited to see what happens in the Pac-12 there. To the Sun Belt we go, and I want to start off with James Madison, 44, UConn, 6. And I also want to say, like, the NCAA, why do you suck? I mean, we know the reasons, all right? There's a whole lot, but, like, this is a new low, man. I'm going to read you the highlights from the Athletic article that broke that. I don't want to say they broke it. I don't know if they did, but definitely that's where I got it from. So because JMU is in that second year FCS to FBS transition, it's still technically not eligible for the postseason unless there aren't enough 6-6 bowl teams. But see, despite that, JMU is probably still going to make it to a bowl game because of a lack of 6-6 teams. But the issue there is that JMU has a chance to, not has a chance, but like if they were able to be in postseason play, they will be playing in the Sun Belt Championship game. And it kind of sucks because they won't know if they're eligible for a bowl until after that conference championship is played. So like they're kind of getting screwed out of that unless the Sun Belt wants to do something and you know, make a stance there, which they probably should. Again, they went 8-3 last year. They submitted a waiver earlier in the year and the NCAA said no. This is the second time they submitted the waiver. They also said no. If they were fully eligible, they would probably be ahead of Tulane and in position for the Group of Five's New Year's Six berth. But because they're not eligible for postseason play, then that means they're currently not eligible for postseason play. Then that means they're not eligible to be ranked by the College Football Playoff, which means that they cannot play in the Group of Five New Year's Six bowl berth game. And also the Sun Belt Championship game because of conference policy, which sucks, man, which sucks. This sucks, man. Like, it's just so unfortunate. I wish people could just kind of get it together at this point. Just the Sun Belt be like, all right, we'll let you play in our conference title game regardless. Like, they're the best team in the conference. If the Sun Belt really wants to, like, because clearly JMU is kind of taking over as the face of that conference. And so I think that the Sun Belt should, like, do everything in their power to make, not appease them, but like show them off as the strength of your conference. And if your best team and arguably the best team in the Power Five isn't able to be represented on that large of a stage, then like make sure that you can do everything in your power to make them relevant and show them and as represent them and be like, hey, listen, this is who we have. This is what we have in this conference. It's not our fault that the NCAA is inept and doesn't want to do the right thing. Like, put it out there. Don't just be like, oh, well, our hands are tied because the NCAA said so. Like, no, dude, like, they're a kangaroo court. Just do it. What are they going to do? Not let them play in the conference championship game that you organize? Like, come on, Sun Belt, grow a pair. Let's do something right here. That's the James Madison of it all. Southern Miss 34, Louisiana 31 in OT. App State 42, Georgia State 14. Troy 45, Louisiana Monroe 14. Coastal 31. Texas State 23, South Alabama 21, Arkansas State 14, Marshall 38, Georgia Southern 33. As it stands, obviously JMU is the best team in the conference, undefeated, 6-0 in the conference, 10-0 overall. But as it stands, it would be Troy and Coastal in the conference championship game because Coastal is 5-2 in the conference, 7-3 overall, while Troy is sitting at 8-2 overall and 5-1 in the conference. And Troy's defense is just absurd. They've allowed 63 points this season. And the next closest team is actually JMU, who have allowed 100. But the next closest team eligible to make a conference title game is going to be South Alabama at 116. And then the next closest in the Sun Belt is, I'm looking at math right here, is Coastal at 162. So, I'm sorry, is App at 156. So, pretty good conference there. We will talk about App and JMU more in a second. The American, SMU beats North Texas 45-21. USF 27, Temple 23, Memphis 44, Charlotte 38 in OT, keeping Memphis's potential conference championship game hopes alive. Navy 31, UAB 6, ECU 22, FAU 7. Broke my heart checking that score on Saturday. UTSA 34, Rice 14. Tulane, SMU, and UTSA are all 6-0 in the conference. So that is, again, a very difficult situation. SMU is listed as second because they have a better overall record at 8-2 rather than 7-3. And that SMU defense is the best in terms of a points allowed perspective, only allowing 88 points and scoring 270. Like, they have the best, they have the most points scored in the conference and the least points allowed in the conference. Pretty interesting situation there. So that is still alive as well. The Mountain West, Wyoming 34, UNLV 14, Utah State 41, Nevada 24, Colorado State 22, San Diego State 19. Brady Hoke, by the way, is going to retire after next year. We'll talk about that next week in silly season. Boise 42, New Mexico 14, San Jose State 42, Fresno State 18, and Hawaii beating Air Force 27-13. That's the second straight loss for Air Force. Interesting. Interesting there after they played really well and looked like the best group of five team for most of the season. And then just last week against, what was it, Army? And then this week against Hawaii. Just, yeah, man, interesting stuff. They are still front driver's seat in the Mountain West because that Army loss didn't count towards the conference. They are 5-1, and it's looking like it's Air Force and UNLV are both sitting there at 5-1. Very interesting because that UNLV loss was to Wyoming. So Air Force kind of lucked out that they're closest competitor there fell over. That was great news for Fresno and Boise, though. Great news for them. This week, we got a quick little five-wide two-point. Not the greatest week, to be honest. Not a bad week. There's no such thing as a bad week in college football, but not the greatest week. SoCon Saturday in full effect, for those who know. But yeah, man, it's interesting. We'll start off with the site of game day, App State against James Madison, 2 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Plus. Crazy that game day is at a site where the game is on ESPN Plus, which I think is cool because, I mean, the more exposure James Madison can get, the better. But again, this is a situation where we are going to hear all about the why isn't this team eligible situation, and hopefully it puts pressure on the backs of the NCAA to do something. They won't because they have no soul, but Tyler and I do have a soul, and we will be taking the Dukes, both of us, on this pick. Then we have a fun game. Number 22, Utah, takes on number 17, Arizona, 2:30 Eastern on the Pac-12 Network. I just wish people were able to see this game. Tyler's going to take Utah. I'm going to take Arizona. Yeah, those are the reasons. There we go. Number 1, Georgia, it's taking on number 18, Tennessee, 3:30, CBS game of the week. Tennessee's, listen, I told you about Josh Heupel. I just wanted to let everyone know, I told you about Josh Heupel. Georgia's winning this football game. Both of us take those points, making that pick. The Sunflower State Showdown, not to be confused with the Sunshine State, Florida, Showdown, but the Sunflower State Showdown, that is Kansas State, number 21, taking on Kansas, who's ranked number 25, a top 25 matchup between the Kansas and Kansas State. Incredible. 7 o'clock Eastern on FS1. Tyler and I are both going to take Kansas in this one. Not because we don't like Kansas State, but because we have a brand to protect. And that is that we are partially a Kansas podcast. But I will say, let me just jump real quick to the 2 points because I want to end with this last game. Tyler's picking Air Force over UNLV. This is that like potential matchup here of the Mountain West. Interesting to see what happens, right? I want, if Air Force wins, even though they're coming off a two-game losing streak, like Tyler says, and UNLV's coming off of that loss to Wyoming, they're both at 5-1. So the winner here is going to have the inside track on the Mountain West championship game hosting situation. And the loser could potentially miss out entirely because Fresno and Boise are sitting at 4-2. And I have to go back and see who holds those head-to-head battles, but like, it'd be very interesting if, like, you know, you go from we can either host the conference championship game or we're going to be out of it altogether. So arguably the biggest game of the season in the Mountain West right now. And I'm just kind of glad that it's happening. So Tyler's going to pick Air Force over UNLV. And I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to pick FAU over Tulane. FAU's hosting Tulane. It's a noon kickoff this Saturday. It's on ESPN Plus. And it's a situation where Tulane kind of hasn't been playing to their highest potential, and FAU really needs a win like this to kind of not just mobilize the fan base, but like really needs this win to really just inspire them to moving forward into next year. FAU sitting at 4-6. The basketball team season just kicked off, and it was so cool to see the Burrow, which is what they call the FAU basketball gym. And I call it a gym because as of this moment, it is a gym. It's not an arena. The Burrow looked great, so you can see like what it's like when FAU's popping. Obviously, they made the Final Four last year, so all eyes are on Dusty May and the Beach Boys, and it's so much fun to be a fan of and to see every single game. But FAU's football team's got to get something like that. And to beat Tulane, supposed to be the big boy of the conference, to be able to do that and set yourself up for next week, get that fifth win so that, you know, that game at Rice next week, it's a 1 o'clock kickoff. That win can be for bowl eligibility. Like, it'd be pretty awesome if that could happen. You know, FAU did mess up. We should have beaten UAB and we should have beaten East Carolina. So we should be bowl eligible right now. Instead of being 4-6, we should be 6-4. But yeah, and so frustrated. We could have gotten it. But anyway, I'm going to take FAU to beat Tulane. I think Tulane is kind of slacking a bit, and I hope that this is kind of, you know, the one too many dominoes have fallen and it finally, you know, collapses the house of cards, right? For the final five wide, we got Washington heading to Corvallis to take on Oregon State. By far the game of the week, 7:30 Eastern kickoff on ABC. Tyler picked Washington. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to speak directly to Jonathan Smith right here. All right. Jonathan, hello. Welcome to the pod. So glad you're here. You have the opportunity to do the absolute funniest thing on the face of the earth. You have the opportunity, Jonathan Smith, Oregon State, DJ Uiagalelei, as the U.S. national team scores late into the game to finally go up 1-0 against Trinidad and Tobago. Thank you, Ricardo Pepi. Good Lord, you stress me out. You have the opportunity, Jonathan Smith, to send these teams, and by these teams, I mean everyone that's not Oregon State and Washington State, to send these teams off with a bitter taste in their mouth. Like, you play Washington and you play Oregon next week. If you can somehow pull off the double upset, if you can do that and you can get to a point where everyone is kind of like laughing and everyone is taking you and like, wow, look at what's happening and look how incredible this is. You can do it. Like, I think for the sake of like the, I don't want to say the integrity, but for the sake of like people like us, like Tyler and I, like you guys listening to the show, for the sake of us that really want college football to have this regional identity and we don't want to like overdo and just remove all of this, like, it's sad to me that the Pac-12 is dying. I don't like that, you know? It's weird to me that we have an ACC schedule that includes games against Stanford. It's weird to me that we have a Big Ten schedule now that includes games against Washington and Oregon. Like, Oregon and Purdue is not a conference game, just identity-wise, right? Like, part of what makes college football so great is that it's a one big quilt, right? And each quilt, each section is a region of the country. And it's not that I like the segregation aspect of it. It's not that. It's that it gives you a sense of pride as to where you're from, right? I literally was just talking about how Pepe scored and when it scored for the national team. One of the reasons I love international soccer so much, and not international, like, you know, Premier League stuff, like watch MLS. It's enjoy it, you know, like be proud of your soccer, Americans. It's the national team aspect, because it's not that people are wishing ill will on other countries. It's that unifying thing, right? We have this. It's why the SEC has that slogan. It just means more. And for one of those, that whole western part of the country to just kind of die down and say, okay, we can't sustain our own conference, we have to kind of outsource it now to other places, is really sad and disappointing to me. And I just hope that we're able to get to a point where we can really take pride in that. And if Oregon State, because now it's Oregon State, right? Washington State flamed out and they're not going to be able to do it. But if Washington State can just do the, you know, the unthinkable and beat the two juggernauts of the conference in a year where the Pac-12 has a chance to send a team, maybe two, to the playoffs, if they can play spoiler, they can go in and they can win the conference, they can beat Washington, they can beat Oregon, and they could play in the conference championship, and they can throw a wrench into all of those plans, it would just be so poetic. And I would love it. And I personally, for these last 2 weeks, yes, I want my Florida Gators to be bowl eligible. Yes, I want I want FAU to end up being bowl eligible. Yes, I have this attachment. I want to see Oklahoma make the conference championship. But honestly, I think from a bird's eye view, I think I'm a Beaver for the next 2 weeks, man. Like, I want to see this happen. 7:30 Eastern this Saturday against Washington in Corvallis. It's going to be a madhouse. They're building the dam, those Beavers are. They got to build that dam. They got to protect college football from this, like, last stand. Like, the Super League fans in Europe, when all that stuff was being talked about, and they shut it down. Like, let them do that. Let Oregon State be that program to really put that and say, hey, no, like, you can still do this over here. It can still happen. Like, respect us, you know? So, I'm a Beaver for the next 2 weeks, so... That's really all I got as the U.S. national team scores a second goal, thankfully. I want to shout out Jedi Robinson there. That's all I got for this week. We will be back next week and talking about all that happens in college football this coming week. Hopefully, I'm able to have a conversation with Tyler, not just about the silly season that's happening, not just about a change in the rankings, but about the wonderful story of Oregon State being the little Beaver that could, knocking down Washington. And you know, we love Washington on this podcast, right? We love Washington on this podcast, but I am a Beaver for the next 2 weeks. I hope you guys join me in being a Beaver for the next 2 weeks. We will be back. I didn't even mention Florida, Missouri. It's a 7 Eastern kick on ESPN. I think Missouri is going to win. I hope I'm wrong. I would love the Gators to win and be bowl eligible, especially given some of the recruiting stuff that's going on. Yeah, it's a tough time in the Florida fan base, but once again, I preach patience, and we will see the moves that Billy makes in the offseason going into a make or break year in 2024. So all that being said, we'll see you guys next week. This has been another episode of Sideline Judgment. My name is Sergio, and for my best friend and co-host Tyler, who is not with us right now on this episode, we are not biased, but go Gators. And I'll let you know right here, go Beavers. We're gonna go Beavs. Go Beavs.